Okay, so we'll pick up with Watchman on page 36. Ron hit some of this when he talked about heredity. We talked a little bit about that last week. I like Galatians 2:20. It's one of the scriptures he uses on page 37. Powerful scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he makes a reference there. I like also what he does in 36 and 37, which helped me. It's one, he's got a couple of really nice analogies that he uses. And one of the analogies that he uses is on page 36 and 37. He gives the example of a piece of paper in the book. If you guys read that map, I think that's just so awesome. So here's the book. And he says, if I put a piece of paper in the book, bottom of 36, I do not mail the paper, but the paper has been put in the book. Then where is the paper? I can go, can the book go to Shanghai and the paper remain here? Can the paper have a separate destiny? I love this. Can the paper have a separate destiny from the book? No. Where the book goes, the paper goes. The Bible says Christ is in the volume of the book. Here we are. If we are found in the book, wherever the book goes, we go. Wherever the book goes, we go. Oh, no. I got three smiles. Where did the book go? Christ is in the volume of the book. I got to find that scripture that says Christ is in the volume. I'm found in the volume of the book somewhere in the New Testament. Or whatever. But where did the book go? Where did Christ go? He went to the cross. I didn't go to the cross, but I went where the book went. He was buried. He put off the old. I went where the book went. Have a new mind. Resurrection. He got up in victory over what had been. Oh, man, yeah. Ron, you did such a wonderful job. We heard the testimonies of the divorce, of the pain or whatever, and we're still here. And we're better than what we were. Oh, my goodness. You mean you can almost praise God for the pain? But new mind. He went there. It's in the volume of the book. I'm in the book. He leads and guides and gives you power through the Holy Spirit. That's where he went. It's in the book. He's coming again. In power. The rapture. His great mercy. It's in the book. Going to go through something else. Just because you were a believer doesn't mean you're not going to go through something else later on down the road. But you have victory. And will he come back again and defeat all the enemies, put everything under his feet, and restore, get us back to Eden, give us peace, joy, and reign? He gets up and has victory over all of that. That's my future. I get to go with him because I'm in him. And wherever the book goes, that's what. Can I be in the very presence of God even though I'm still here? Yes. How do I know that?
Well, the presence of God is in you.
Ah, yes. And I'm in him. How do I get there? And that's what we're going to talk about. Because he's going to start outlining that. I think that example is just an awesome example. Nee's going to give you some examples that you can relate to, and it's going to help you really understand all these different testimonies that people had talking about that. You can't fathom that. Oh, God, you know, I got divorced. You know, I this, you know, the doctor says one thing, but I'm not in what the doctor says. Wow, how do you get there? It is so easy, but we don't teach it and we don't get it. But let me get, I just really, really love this book and this one even more. Now, he's going to take us to Romans 6. I like this one. Bottom of 37. He says, God does not require us to crucify ourselves. We were crucified when Christ was crucified, for God put us there in him. All right? So when I do the steps, I'm just rehearsing and reminding myself that I am already crucified with Christ. Got it? All right. Page 38, I got a couple of points there or whatever. Ron already hit some of this when he talked about the inclusive. It is the inclusive death of the Lord which puts me in a position to identify myself. So you got 2 points here. You got including yourself in Christ and then identifying who you are in him. The identity or understanding who you are is important because it helps keep you from sinning. All right? It's kind of like what I told you when my dad said, you know, hey, son, my name. Don't screw up. I got a good name here. I did not screw up as often as I could have because I remembered who I was.
In 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, he gives that as an example in 2 Corinthians 5. Those two verses are saying exactly that. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself.
Yep.
Christ.
Yep. And so is the whole principle of reconciliation. Sometimes we hear about reconciliation. We kind of, what do you think? Because I've heard that growing up in church, reconciliation, he reconciles relationships or whatever. So I can be reconciled to somebody else, but now I'm reconciled to God. So I'm reconciled to God. So what does that really mean when I'm reconciled to God? I know we've heard that over and over again.
When you're reconciled to God, it means you can walk with him, you know, and obey him.
You're
subjecting yourself to the Holy Spirit rather than subjecting yourself to the path of Adam.
Yeah. So, the reconciliation is not so much a reconciliation of, hey, I used to be an enemy of God, and now we're not enemies anymore, and we're good, and we leave it there. Using the steps, when are we reconciled to God? When we're no longer his enemy. Pardon?
You're reconciled with God when you have the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to say yes and no. Children of Israel, deep in Egyptian bondage, getting ready to suffer judgment. Bad stuff getting ready to happen. God says, put the blood on the doorpost and I'll pass over you, which means I'm going to reconcile you because I am the great judge and I'm going to judge the world and I'm going to judge these Egyptians or whatever. And if you don't have the blood on the door, then I won't pass over you so you can start your relationship with me. And I'll be your God because you believe in the blood and you apply the blood. When are they reconciled? Step one, you get on the mat. Can you have a long distance relationship after you've been reconciled? Can you still be saved and still be in sin? God forbid.
That's another question I've asked myself is can you be saved and still be a disciple of Christ?
Well, a disciple means you are a follower. So,
if you're saved, is it possible to not be a disciple of Christ? And that's what he's talking about in this book.
So, I'll say this, and this is where I agree with you. This is how you got to understand the steps. Even though it's going downward, each step takes you closer to where God wants you to be. In him. Each step causes you to have a deeper relationship with him. And as you get further down where Ron says, you really can't get deeper until you get here to have the power to really go even further. And a lot of Christians are okay with that initial reconciliation, but is the relationship a place where you're closer to God? I'm just trying to get closer. Because the closer I get, the more power I get. And the closer I get, the more freedom I have. Because the word says, he who has the Son is free indeed. Which means there are degrees of freedom. There are degrees of faith. There are degrees of relationship. Anybody got some crazy relatives? And you might be in a place where you're reconciled with that relative, where, you know, you're to the place where, hey, hi, you know, you can greet each other without wanting to choke them out.
That's harmony.
That's a form of reconciliation. But you don't necessarily want to get real close with that.
Right.
So there's a difference. I want to get close to the one who died for me. So I go through the steps. And what he's going to be showing you here is the acknowledgement or the inclusiveness is one thing, but the identity is another step. All right. So then he talks about, you know, Adam and the first Adam, and Ron said a little bit about the hereditary piece of that or whatever. We talked about that last time, what it really means to die to the first Adam and to understand the second Adam. My life in Christ trumps everything of my previous life. And I need to look at my past with spiritual eyes. That makes sense?
Yeah.
It is Black History Month. And I love Black History. But I can't let that trump my future.
No.
Now, I think we talked about this before, because I got like five Bible studies. I can't remember what I said to one or the other. I like what some people did here today when they described some things they went through in their past. But they did it a certain way. They looked back upon that thing with victory. In fact, the way they look back at it in spiritual eyes is going to give them the fuel to press forward with efficiency. Sometimes you look back at your past and you look at it too long, or you don't look at it with spiritual eyes. And you glorify what should not be glorified. Or you look at it in a bad light. I don't want to look at my past in a way that it keeps me from going into my future. I want to look at my past in a way that, you know, and when the children of Israel looked back in the Red Sea and they saw all those Egyptians in the water, you look at Exodus 14, it says that the children of Israel looked behind them and they saw all those Egyptians in the water. So God does not have a problem with you looking at the past, but you got to look at it from the standpoint of what he's brought you through. Because as soon as they crossed the Red Sea and looked back and saw all that stuff in the water that God has just washed off of them, they step over into Exodus 15 and they just start singing the praise about how God threw that stuff in the water and the horse and the rider is drowned in the sea, and they start praising God or whatever. And when you can look at your past and your past hurt like that, whoo, your new life trumps your old. Okay, so we hit that then, and David will be happy about this. It takes you to page 40 in the end of chapter 2. Look at that. You didn't think I could do it. All right. So get ready to turn to Romans chapter 6. Now, he makes reference in chapter 3, page 41. He says, our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. I love that. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. So that's the key here. Stop trying to change the old you. You can't. I can stop that. I can just keep telling you whatever, you know. You can't change you.
You quit feeling guilty about the old Jesus. Satan's trying to feed you.
Yeah, which is what he said in the first couple of chapters or whatever. You know, because the old you will always have you in guilt and condemnation because the enemy will always come back. You know what you used to did. You know what you do. You know what you've been doing or whatever. And he holds that against you. And you just need to step out of there and say, I'm in the book. Can't change the old. Can't change the old. Can't change. I've tried. I can't. I was a freak before I got saved, and when I got saved, I'm just a saved freak. No, you just can't, man. You cannot change. You can be better. And see, the deception is you change and you get better and you try harder and you pat yourself on the back because you're not as bad as you used to be. But still bad. And why are you bringing your brains out trying to do something that you never can do? And that's why when Ron asked, I can do all things through Christ, but I cannot do it in my own strength. So take the easy route. Just stop trying. I don't try to avoid temptation anymore. I just do. When I identify myself in the book. So now, when you get into chapter 3, Nee's going to do some great things here. He's going to show you how to do this. And I wrote some things down here, whatever, because this is really great when you start getting in chapter 3. So chapter 3, he's going to bring up some points here. And he's going to give you the fourfold condition for living the normal Christian life. And each of the next several chapters, he's going to focus on one of these core four tenets. And he just keeps replaying these things. But this is, and the first part is, you got to know. And the second part is, which is when you're going to get in chapter 4, is the reckoning. I'm looking at it, still can't spell it right. Reckoning. And the third part is, and Ron says this all the time, that sanctification, it's the, you present ourselves to God. And the fourth one is walking in the Spirit. Do you see the four steps? You got to know. So, chapter 3, we're going to talk about something. If it really comes out of Romans 6 or whatever, you need to know. Because if you don't know, you can't apply. So the first thing I just said, if you don't know to apply the blood, you'll never apply it. The reckoning is, I reckon that what I know will help me defeat or put down who I used to be. When Jesus goes through the first three steps, tell me what those first three steps are. Before, step two, don't get him out of order. Death. When he dies on the cross, and he's, now I'm ready for you, now he's buried, and the stone is rolled away, he comes out of the tomb. Who's one of the first people who see him?
Mary.
And he tells Mary, don't hold on to me or cling to me because I have, talk to me. I know he's doing some sign language, you know, because I have not yet gone up to heaven to do what? to present himself to the Father. Where are we? In the book. When we present ourselves to the Father, like he did, we must come boldly with the blood of the Lamb. Because he's going to operate in his priest role, and as priest, he's taking the blood of the sacrifice, and he's doing what the priest did in the Old Testament. He's purifying the temple by presenting himself before the Lord. When we do steps 1, 2, and experience step 3, we are presenting ourselves with our new mind and our new position and our new identity to God. And then, as Ron stated before, then we have the power of the Holy Spirit that sustains us and guides us and shows us how to go. That makes sense? So now me is going to give us these 4 points. It's going to show you how to be able to have the same kind of testimonies that you heard here today. It's going to show you how to do the very simple thing of trusting in God and walking in his power. All right? So, chapter 3, and that's on page 42, where he talks about that fourfold approach. Then he goes into Romans 6, and it gets into page 43, but before we get to 40, let's go to Romans 6. And remember, as you read Romans 6, the key of chapter 3 is to know. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's asking a question. Who is he talking to here?
To believers.
To believers. He's talking to everybody that's been saved, baptized, whatever, you know, reconciled. And he says, hey, you guys that have been saved and who keep sinning, should we continue to sin even though we've been saved? That's right. Verse 2. Al read ahead. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? And so as you read me, what you're going to see is, how do we get into Adam in the first place?
We were born
into it. And once you're born into something, the only way you can get out of it is to
die.
So that you can be born again. And the problem is, we don't know or want to die. So he says, verse 3, here's the key. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Do I need to die to myself?
Yes.
Is there anything else I need to do to kill myself? If anybody goes and get a gun and shoots your head off at you, it's just really totally missing the point of this. So what do I need to do in order to die to self or crucify self? What do I need to do? Pardon me?
Surrender,
repent. All right. Me says nothing. Just believe. It's already done. That is the concept, and it's so confusing because it's already done. We don't get that because we keep thinking it can't be that easy. It just can't be that easy. Because temptation is too tough. It just cannot be that easy. Can anybody agree with me? It just can't be that easy. Wait a minute. Let me put it this way. It has not been that easy. Can I go that way? It should be that easy, but it just has not been that easy. Why? Because we keep getting in the way. Mac, you had your hand up, or either you got a booger on your finger.
No,
I can't tell exactly what you were doing.
I was going
to
say that is our representative. In his death, he included you and me.
It's already done.
It's already done.
I'm in the book. It's already done. Well, thank you very much. I didn't mean that.
I didn't have the book again.
Mac, now, stay on the mat with me, Mac. All right? Stay on the mat. Don't.
But we do have to choose to accept that truth.
Yes. Well, but before we can accept the truth, guess what we had to have? The truth. So me is breaking this down. It's like, you can't have faith in something that you don't know. So he hangs around Romans 6 and he goes, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, so if you haven't been baptized in Christ, it hasn't happened for you. But that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were also baptized in his death. Verse 4. Therefore, we sooner or later will be buried with him in baptism unto death. Why are you laughing?
And we were.
We have been.
It's already done. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Then he goes a little bit further. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
That's good news.
So it is good news. It's just the gospel. It's already done.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Verse 6. Another key point. And if you have your Bible, you should just be highlighting this K-N-O-W. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Didn't say he was saved. Our old man was saved. Our old man was spared.
Nope.
Our old man was changed.
Nope.
No, it was taken out of the picture. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, which means I have his power. Uh-oh, here we go. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. When I read that now, I read that and it has new revelation in the meaning. So, Nee goes on a little bit further. And I love page 43. Page 43 is, that's one of my foot stompers there. And I've said this before, but I love 43. Check this out. Right at the top of page 43, he says, how did you receive forgiveness? And so I'll ask the question. You guys probably read it, but I'll ask the question. How do you receive forgiveness? How did you receive forgiveness? Pardon me? That's not the first part of how I received forgiveness. I tell you how I received forgiveness. When I was 11, I was about the same age as Lee. His story kind of reminds me of that. A preacher preached something that I did not know. He said, Christ's blood will cleanse you from all sin. Didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And he preached it. And he showed me somewhere in the Bible. Now I know. The only thing I have to do now is believe.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing.
And by the word of God. That's it. And if you don't know it, and if you don't hear it, you can't believe it. So he says here, did you say, Lord Jesus, please come and die for my sins? No. That means that. Nope. You did not pray that at all. You only thanked the Lord. You did not beseech him to come and die for you, for you realized that he had done so already. But what is true of your forgiveness is also true of your deliverance. I love this. It's the same principle. And he's going to, so what he says here is, see, we know that our sins have been forgiven because we believe in the word. But in Romans, we just read that we can also be what? We can also be free from sin. Now here's how I live my Christian life. I believe in the Lord. I got baptized or whatever, but I'm still a slave to sin. In fact, when I wrote my second book, Entangled in the Land, I came to the realization that, man, I've been saved for a good little while. You know, the worst crimes that I committed were not before I got saved. It was that. Really was. Because I was still trying my hardest to live right. But the temptation and everything else just hit me too hard. And I'd lived good for about a good week or so or whatever, but sooner or later, I said, Max laughing because he's been there too. Amen. I could not sustain it. Because I kept trying to change in my own strength. I don't do half the things that I used to. Not that I still don't have some challenges. I still got to go back and replay the steps or whatever every day. In fact, before I got here, I had to replay the steps. This just gets me. My car is here. And I'm trying to turn here. And cars are coming here. The left hand turn into, you know. And there's a car coming here. I can't go, Al, until this car goes by. And I'm trying to get to church on time. You know what this guy does? He turns right before I have to turn left. And guess what he didn't do? He didn't signal. And I was so mad. I'm like, I could have been gone. Inconsiderate monkey.
You should never cross
the
blinker anyway.
Pardon me? But if he had blinked and it slowed down, it would have given me a good indication. I could have been further along. And I was so mad that I almost, instead of turning left, started to turn right just so I can drive by him and give him the evil eye.
Got the finger.
No, I don't want to give him the finger. He don't deserve the finger. I'm too saved to give him the finger. So I got to go back through the steps. And one of the things that helped me is the Spirit just kind of leads and guides you. Have you ever done the same thing? Yes. So who am I? And then I talked to myself and said, well, I didn't do it on purpose. All right. So middle of page 43. Thus, there is no need to pray, I am a very wicked person. Lord, please crucify me. He says, that is all wrong. Your sins were dealt with by his blood, and you were dealt with by his cross. It is an accomplished fact. It's all on page 43. All that is left for you to do is praise the Lord and live in the sight of him. All right. Verse bottom of page 43. Do you believe in the death of Christ? Of course you do. But the same Holy Scripture says that he died for us also, that we died with him. Look at it again. He references Romans 5:8. Christ died for this. And he says, this is the statement. It's clear enough, top of page 44. But is this any less clear? Our old man was crucified with him. Romans 6:6. We died with Christ. And then he talks about this. What is the date of our old man's crucifixion? And he goes through that. And in the middle of 44, he says, when Christ was crucified, that's when I was crucified too, even before I was born. All right? I'm going to stop there because I got to go and get ready to preach or whatever. So we stop at page 45. I got a note here that says, I still got to die daily. But here's the concept that is so powerful. I mentioned it before, but this is what he's going to be going toward here. It's like Office Depot, the little red button we got. It's just that easy. It's just that easy. I've been doing this wrong for a long time. It's just that easy. It gives new revelation to the fact that when he was on the cross, it's already done. It is just that easy.
That's the problem. It's easy.
It's just that easy. We just could think, you know, Naaman, you know, once he gets healed of leprosy, he says, hey, you go to Jordan River and dip yourself seven times.
Dip yourself seven times. Yeah. I would have thought he would have sent me someplace else, but I'd do some great feet or whatever like that.
It's just that easy. We make it harder. Because we just think that nobody can love us like that to make it just that easy for us. It's already done. You will never be able to be what God wants you to do when you're still trying to do it in the old flesh. You cannot. You just cannot. It is just so much easier. I got one of my kids or whatever found out that, you know, we got a great conversation. We call all the time, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, she don't call as much anymore. I'm sitting up here scratching my head going, I didn't even call him. And found out that, hey, he's got an issue. Doesn't like the way I said something or did something or whatever, wanted her to do a certain thing or whatever, didn't like the way I did it, and just been carrying it for a little while. So they're mad at it. So, you know, being a preacher of the gospel and teaching this Bible study and things like that, you know what my response was. How dare you get mad? The mere fact that you got mad just made me mad. Come on now, I'm not the only one. So I'm mad because she's mad. So I ain't calling. You call me. Where am I on the map? It ain't my fault.
Pride.
It ain't my fault.
Pride.
It ain't my fault. Yes. Don't say anything to me, son. I just you shake my head. Hey, look here. I'm not the one that's in sin. I'm not the one that's. But no. It's not my fault.
But you resent her for being mad. That's
it. Hey, what if Jesus had taken that attitude?
Damage control.
Oh, well, I'm not Jesus.
What if Jesus taking that? It's not my fault. Y'all on your own.
That's the blame game.
What's so sad, Chuck? You're the only one that does.
I know. Look at all these people just telling me. I feel like getting a couch out here, just pouring my life out to you guys so you can advise me on what to do. So what I started trying to do, Davey, was I started trying to make myself like her. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. You know, it only lasted for about an hour, and I thought about it again and got mad. And I brought it up with my wife, and then she didn't understand or whatever, and I got mad at her.
deeper end. So I called her, reached out to her or whatever, and I didn't bring up anything. I'm just calling, you know what? I'm not going to let somebody else's attitude, I'm not going to let somebody who might be wrong, where I'm not going to let anybody else keep me from where God wants me to be. And why struggle with my feelings and the hurt and the disappointment and the pride? Just let it go. I'm brand new.
But I say don't let, just let it go. Let it go to God. Let God heal your anger. If I let it go, I don't get it to him.
I gave it to him. Yeah. You got to go through yourself. You got to give it to him. Because I'm brand new. I'll pray for her.
Do what Daniel
said. What did Daniel say? Pray. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do what Daniel said. That's fine. I'll pray for you. But I'm brand new, so I'm going to keep on doing those things I need to do in the Lord. Amen? I got a role.
Got a blessing.
Got a blessing. Yep. I've already been blessed. You know, I almost threw this
nap. It should have been blessed.
This boy just knocked me off the mat again. All right, over here. I'm brand new. All right. God bless you. Love you guys. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for your word. Man, is it really that easy? Is it really that easy? Move us out of the way so that you can have your way. In every situation in our life, Lord God, may we be found in you. That we can do things that we were never able to do before. Love those who don't love us like never before. We don't do it in our power, Lord God. We do it in the power of the one who saved us and lives inside. We thank you, Lord God, for the ability to do those things that glorify you. We praise your name, Jesus. We pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. We'll see you next week.